It depends what your other options
Did I
are,
say
doesn't
Sean? I really should have
it?
said Aaron, shouldn't I? Sorry.
Yeah.
Go on, Sean,
Good
answer it
answer,
first. Go
Sean.
on, Sean, you answer it. Yeah. We're here now. You might as well carry on. Sorry. Hello, everybody. My name's James. Welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. Looking forward to an important fixture for two of our correspondents in game week 15. Firstly, let me introduce you the leader of the Alex Iwobinio fan club, our Everton correspondent, Sean Norton. How are you, Sean?
I'm good, James. Thanks.
Good man. And our Leicester City correspondent, Aaron Lagos, here. How are you, Aaron?
Yeah, good, mate. Good to be here.
Always good to have you with us, mate. Sean, I got to start with the apology, haven't I, mate? So you spoke up, Alex Iwobi, quite a bit. Only a couple of weeks ago we last spoke ahead of your trip to Newcastle. I poo-pooed it a bit. He didn't return. I felt smug. He went off big against Palace. He looked great. And to be fair, one of the things I have been saying is he has been playing great. Go on. Have your Alex Iwobi moment.
Oh, no, I can't because I don't want to jinx it.
I just want to know, though, Sean, how far has he taken you up the ranking in FPL?
Yeah, you know I didn't get it. That's why he returned. That's why he returned.
Because you didn't get him. You don't
I didn't
do,
get him.
Do,
yeah.
do you not have Everton players at all as a thing like that?
No.
I used to be like that with Spurs. And then we got quite good. And I couldn't keep letting the returns go. But is that a real thing for you? You just won't have Everton players at all?
Yeah. Ever since I got Gylfi Sigurdsson and then stuck with him for a ridiculous amount of time. And then I got rid of him and he immediately started scoring goals left, right and centre. So no, I'm finished with Everton players. I just won't have them.
No, fair enough. Since we last spoke, you've played 3 games. 2 clean sheets in now. Obviously, the defeat at Newcastle, the excellent victory against Crystal Palace, and the 0-0 draw at Fulham on Saturday. We should say we're pre-recording this actually on Sunday night. But that's a decent return for the 3 games, isn't it, Sean?
Yeah. More than happy with. Obviously, we played really well against Palace. Didn't really see us scoring 3 goals against anyone really. And the quality of the goals, they were all very good. And to go to Fulham and get a point. We were up against it in the second half, but if you'd have offered me a point before the game, I'd have ripped your hand off for that.
What changed in the Palace game? Because some of the goals you scored were great as well. Some real free-flowing football as well. Is it as simple as Calvert-Lewin being back in the team?
That obviously helps. But I think it's more to do with the fact it was a Goodison. I mean, for years now, we've been doing these podcasts. Everton are very good at home. As a rule, I'm really poor away. And, I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. So when they're at home with the backing of the fans, the players, you know, play well most of the times. They've got that confidence. They do things that, you know, they just don't do away from home.
Is it fair to say there's a narrative that Everton fans are impatient with attractive style of football? It was one of the comments I heard from a commentator over the weekend, or last week, in relation to the Anthony Gordon goal, which I think if Mikalenko's shot had gone in, we'd be going, that's a goal of the season contender. But because it ends up as a tapping off the goalkeeper, people will forget about it, unfortunately. Is that fair that there's a narrative from Everton that people think Everton fans want the ball to go forward as quickly as possible?
Yeah, I don't think that's... You know, that's not fair. I think we do get sort of stereotyped into wanting direct football. I think it goes back to sort of the years under Roberto Martinez and to a lesser extent, Marco Silva, where we played a lot of passing for passing's sake and it never got anywhere. And the manager spoke about possession stats. But, you know, if you've got possession, it's got to lead to something, hasn't it? Otherwise, it's just passing for the sake of passing. And I think fans get nervous because over the years we have, when we've attempted to play football and attempted to evolve, it's invariably blew up in our faces, led to some sort of comical goals going against us, and you sort of get, you just get scarred by it. I mean, if you watch the goal again, there is a big gasp from the fans when the ball's played back to Pickford, you know, and I sort of done it myself, because Palace had closed down. There was about four players sort of, oh, we are, we can get this. But that's what Everton had sort of worked on and relied on. And then the ball out to Coleman from Pickford got us out and up the pitch. And you could just tell it was something that he'd worked on in training. And then the manager spoke and some of the players mentioned that they had worked on it. And it, you know, it drew them in perfectly and gave us an opportunity to counter on them, which led to a goal. And I think the more the team starts to do that, the more the crowd will, you know.
Yeah, it's like, an adaptation period.
Yeah, yeah. This is, you know, this is something that we can get behind. And they will.
Does that performance against Palace give you greater hope for more? Because I know you obviously prior, you'd not scored at Newcastle, you'd not scored against Tottenham. You don't overly expect anything in those games. But we always speak about the size of the club, and Everton shouldn't just go to these places and just accept getting beat to nil, for example. But does that give you hope? Because I know you were saying a lot on Twitter still, it's going to be a struggle, it's going to be a bit of a dogfight. Did that performance, even more than the result, open your eyes to there could be something more building?
Yeah, you can definitely see the fruits of the labour that they're putting in, sort of thing. And I do think when the January window opens, that might take it, you know, to the next level. But I certainly think that where I feared was that we didn't get enough striking options in, enough attacking options in, and we wouldn't score enough goals, and then it'd be a real struggle, and we might be in the bottom three when the window opens again, and then it's like deja vu from obviously January last year, where you're very much living on your nerves every week, and now I don't think it's going to be like that, but I think it's almost unavoidable that we're going to be in the bottom sort of seven teams. You know, I've sort of said this since pre-season. And the only way we're going to get out of that is through recruitment and recruiting better attacking players. So I'd like to think that will happen in January. But if it didn't, then, you know, it is going to be sort of close, because we're averaging, just over 1 point a game. So, you know, that's only going to get you sort of 38, 39, 40 points. And I think this season, the way it's shaping up, there's going to be an almighty scramble for probably two places. I think Forest potentially are the only team that might get cut adrift, but, you know, that's not a guarantee. Their signings, you know, they might start to gel and they might hit a run of form. But I definitely think there's at least two places that the whole bottom half of the table will be scrapping to avoid.
And I think that's fair to say, the whole bottom half, actually, at the moment, of which you're in there, Aaron. 25 goals conceded is no longer the worst. You've got Bournemouth and Forest have now conceded more than you. And actually, we've seen some real improvements. We spoke a lot. The last time we spoke to you was before you were meant to play Villa, which was obviously postponed. At that point, you were very much wasting time. Brendan Rodgers got to go. We spoke about the importance of the block of five fixtures you had, which you picked 10 points up in. Defensively, much better. Okay, you lost 1-0 to Manchester City, but you lost to a Weldie. No big chances conceded. First question would be, have you changed your mind about Brendan?
It's going down a different path. I mean, I wouldn't say that I am completely changed. He's definitely done a lot in these games that we needed to pick points up in to get the fans back on side. I think some of the results have been good. Performances have been good, sorry. I think he seems to have sort of got the defence sorted. It does help when you've got more of a settled side, so that's definitely helped. So, yeah, I think there's improvement there, isn't there? So I think we've just got to keep it going. And you know, the weekend, yesterday we were, you could say we were unlucky, but I mean, really.
A little, mate, yeah.
On the reflection of the game, we were, but I mean, they had a lot of possession. We obviously had a game plan to sit behind the ball, not give up too many opportunities, stay in the game. I think it was a shame that we just didn't quite go for it after we did go 1-0 down. Just felt like we were just sort of then went for a period of about 5-10 minutes in the game where we probably just should have changed it up then. I think Brendan said in his post-match that the game plan before the game was to obviously shut them out at the back and then see if we can change the game with 20 minutes to go and go for it a little bit. Seemed like a bit of a missed opportunity to get something because obviously they were without Haaland, so that would have been nice. But yeah.
Yeah, and there's no way of knowing if the game would have gone down the same path if obviously he played and Phil Foden didn't start either, right? But it's interesting that obviously, as I said, we were meant to speak before the Villa game, it got postponed. And you came to Tottenham and actually played well for 65, 70 minutes, thoroughly deserved to be at least on level terms, and then completely collapsed and ended up with this lopsided losing 6-2. Goalkeeper looks like he can't save anything in goal. But he deserves some credit as well, Danny Ward, doesn't he?
Yeah, he deserves a lot of credit. The results have been good in these block of fixtures that we probably looked at pre-season as being, you know, chunk of games that we needed to get some points out of, regardless of our league position, really. But yeah, he's very much sort of stepped up. Looks like he belongs in the shirt. Doesn't look like it don't fit him anymore.
I'm not joking. Honestly, I was looking at the game yesterday and I was thinking, shirt fits him.
Yeah.
Is have you noticed that as well, or is it just me? I've just
got I don't know. It's just a psychological thing, but yeah, it does look like he sort of belongs there a bit more now. You can certainly see he's got a lot more confidence. I think it helps when you've got, you know, more of a settled, you know, defense in front of you. I mean, that defense has played most of those games now.
Well, Wout Faes is the common. Obviously, yeah. Played the first game against Tottenham, but it was a debut, and mad stuff happened at the end of the game. And to be fair, Sonny scored a couple of worldies. But he's obviously played all of this run. Is it as simplistic as he's made this big difference at the back for you?
He's made a big difference. Yeah, without a doubt. He looks really, up to this level. I think he looks like he enjoys defending. He's a bit old school in that respect, but he's got a lot to his game, actually. He's quite calm on the ball. If you've seen a bit of his of late, he does bring more of a calm and influence back there. You know, when you've got someone like Amati, who, you know, bless him, he is really more of a squad player than anything, but, you know, he has done a job for us, but he has got a mistake in him. But you don't feel like that with Faes, and he's done really, really well. And he has brought sort of an air of calm at the back, and it's definitely helped us.
Can you see the Sideshow Bob comparison?
I did. Yeah, you said that on the pod, didn't you? That was definitely see resemblances there. But I think the more I've seen of him, the less he's looking that way, to be honest.
I think David Luiz, when David Luiz was good, was very, very good, and that's actually part where the comparison comes, the 9 out of 10 and the 4 out of 10. That occasionally he's going to drop the stinker, like the equalising goal he conceded at Bournemouth. He's like, his head's not there, but actually all the rest I've seen of him, pretty good.
Yeah, I think
actually so far.
Yeah, I think to start with, I think he obviously was feeling his way into the side a little bit. But he looks like he's very good at organising at the back there. You know, without the likes of Evans, who is, you know, he's the organiser at the back. And, Amati doesn't really fill you with much confidence. But, yeah, he's definitely got to grips with him back there. So, yeah,
good to see him. Does Evans come back in as soon as he's fit?
I think so, yeah. I don't think Amati's done that badly.
No, if he's done okay.
Yeah, he has. But yeah, Evans is first choice, and he'll come back in when he's fit.
And I take it you think that the back three against City was just a one-off, was it? Because we have seen this in spells before where you've played back threes for long periods, but it felt a little bit strange in the sense the results have suddenly picked up, doesn't feel the right time to change, and that's why it makes me think it was just for City.
Yeah, I feel as if it was. I was like you. When I saw the lineup, I was quite surprised to see Soyuncu start. Not only because he's not really played a lot this season.
I thought he'd been jettisoned out of the squad and was non-existent, basically.
Definitely. It's felt a lot like that. A lot of Brendan's comments have led to that thinking, because it's just every time it's been asked about Soyuncu, he's just said, oh, he's well off it, you know, he's not up to the level and stuff. So yeah, I was surprised, and he did okay. So yeah, I think it was just for City. And there's an argument to say, all right, you know, City can hurt any team, can't they? And maybe if we'd have gone for it, we would have been badly exposed, and he didn't want that. And maybe that would have destroyed a bit of confidence that we'd built up. So I don't know. It seemed a shame that we, you know, without Haaland and Foden and stuff, you know, City weren't at their strongest. We could have got something, really.
I mean, you left yourself in with a chance by staying in the game as well. I think, like, De Bruyne scored early in the second half. It can run away from you there.
Yeah.
Stay in was the priority. What do you think happened to Soyuncu? Because after the first season, he was getting linked with the top clubs around.
Yeah, and rightly so, because he was immense for us. And so consistent. Just, you know, that was the season he came in after we saw Maguire, and you know, he was great for his Maguire when he left, and it was going to be a big position to fill, and he just slotted in there with ease, really, like he'd been there for 10 years. But yeah, I don't know what happened to him. He kind of dropped off, lost a bit of consistency, and then just lost all confidence. And then I think Brendan lost all confidence in him. I don't know quite what's gone on in the background, but it seems a shame, because hopefully he's still a player in there, but I don't know. I mean, I've been very much like one of those that's wrote him off a little bit in the last 18 months or so. He does go missing sometimes in games, and you can't have that as a centre back. So, but we'll see.
You've had a few more low scoring affairs recently, Aaron, but it's 46 goals scored in your goals scored and conceded in your 13 games so far. For you, Sean, it's 23, which is half in the same number of games, which is remarkable. I mean, double the number of goals in Leicester games to Everton games. I presume one of the strong reasons for this, Sean, is the relationship between the two centre-backs. Isn't there a new word going around for them now? I think one of our patrons, Heidi, coined it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say. What did she call them?
Yeah, Tarkody.
Tarkody. Yeah, I like that. That's good, that.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. How important they've been, mate?
They've been... I mean, we spoke about them a little bit a couple of weeks ago ahead of the Newcastle game. But they've both been immense, just giving us things that we've been lacking for years. I mean, they absolutely love defending. You can see them sort of celebrating tackles like it's a goal, and it sort of rubs off on the rest of the players. It was one of the things that the manager spoke about at the end of last season, you know, needing more leaders in the squad. And I've heard this before with Everton managers, but, you know, they go out and sign new players, but you still don't seem to get that leadership that you'd hope to get. But these two absolutely bring it. And it's fantastic to see. And that's why we're, you know, so much better defensively. And set pieces, we've been fantastic. We've only conceded one all season. And you know, your boys, Tottenham, very good from set pieces. Fulham have scored something like 10 goals from set pieces so far this season. And we didn't concede a set piece to either team. So that's been really good, and they're at the heart of that.
So only Arsenal, City and Newcastle have conceded less goals, than yourselves this season, Sean. But it's only Wolves and Forest have scored less. Yeah. I know we spoke about Calvert-Lewin at the start a little bit. Do you expect that number now to improve in terms of the goals for column significantly?
I don't think it'll change too much, to be honest. I'd like to think there might be a slight increase in it, but I think until we get better wide options in, we're always going to struggle away from home. Like I say, Goodison, it's a bit different to Goodison because they noticeably play better. And you know, Calvert-Lewin coming back, I'd like to think will help the goal output a little bit. But I don't think it's massively going to change. I think we're looking at a season similar to how sort of Wolves had when Wolves come up their first two seasons, where they were defensively very strong, but didn't score a lot of goals. And what it gives you is you're in the game. You've always got a chance of getting something from the game. And there's only the Tottenham game where we've lost by two goals all season. And that second goal come late on, didn't it? So, you know, we still had, albeit it might have been unlikely the way the game was going, you still got that chance that you might get a counter-attack, nick a goal and get a point. And that's brilliant because, you know, it's progress from last season. And far too often last season, you know, we were out of games with like 30 minutes to go, 20 minutes to go. So every game this season, we've been in it right to the end.
Talk to me about them wide options if you can, Sean, because there's a lot of people listening to this will be thinking about buying Calvert-Lewin for these last two, I think, with the likes of obviously Mitrovic playing the two Manchester clubs, for example. Tony's now suspended. A lot of people will be considering Calvert-Lewin. Talk to me about them wide options, because that's one of the concerns, isn't it? That will he get the service?
Yeah, that's, I mean, Demarai Gray is very, very, very inconsistent. You know, he had a decent game against Fulham, but he sort of gets in good positions and then he doesn't pick the right ball, or he holds on to it too long and then he loses it. And he never quite lives up to his promise. And, you know, he doesn't seem to be learning from his mistakes, the sort of coaching improvements we've seen for some of the other players don't seem to be seen with Demarai Gray. And then Anthony Gordon's very, you know, he's a young lad, just sort of, he hasn't played many games in the Premier League and he's still finding his feet. So naturally you're going to get, you know, sort of inconsistencies in his performances. So we haven't got any other options really. You know, Dwight McNeil is the only real wide alternative, but because of his lack of pace, you know, don't really see him starting in games away from home. His best attributes are his defensive attributes. So it makes getting the supply line to Dom, getting that right is a challenge. And that's clearly one that you can tell Frank Lampard recognises that. And I think deep down he knows, you know, the answers lie in the transfer market. But that's why Alex Iwobi is just key to this Everton team. And that's why I was sort of tipping him as a good option, because he's at the heart of every good move that we produce at the minute. With him playing sort of, because Frank's changed it in the last few weeks, and he's gone to more like a 4-2-3-1. So he sort of stopped Onana just like marauding forward, and he's got him more sitting with Idrissa Garner Gay and letting Iwobi play as sort of like a traditional sort of 10, number 10 role. So it benefits him. And then if Gordon or Gray do produce something, invariably they're going to have got the ball from Iwobi. Same with Dominic Calvert-Lewin. You know, if he's going to get slipped through, similar to what happened against Crystal Palace, it's Iwobi that's likely to slip him in. Gordon and Gray, the crossing just isn't, you know, it's not great at all.
But it's Calvert-Lewin's biggest strength, isn't it? He's getting on the end of these. Yeah. That's part of the problem. So who would we be relying on to deliver that for him? Is it Mikalenko?
Well, they seem to be working with Mikalenko to sort of on his crossing, because I don't think he's naturally very, very, very good attacking. But you can see that they've been working on it with him. It seems to be very strategic where he puts the ball in from. And certain situations where he just, you know, he won't entertain it, because he's not the type of player that's gonna knock it past the fullback and then whip it across. He's more likely to put it in from deep. But with Nathan Patterson back now, Seamus didn't have the best game against Fulham. He's done okay. Well, he's done more than okay while Nathan Patterson's been out. He's done pretty well. But I expect to see Patterson start. Okay. So with him coming back in, I think that's more likely to be, you know, a source of supply for Don.
Patterson would be really interesting for these last two if we knew he was going to play. And I know you're only saying that as a prediction. Yeah. I think he would be very, very... You'd go to him rather than Cody, for example, I think, if you knew he was going to play, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
From an FPL perspective.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts, Aaron, on Calvert-Lewin? Is that a player you're concerned about going into the weekend?
Yeah, I think it should be. Yeah. And I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of Everton of late, and I don't know. I know he's only just come back, hasn't he? So I don't know how up to speed he is. But, you know, a fit firing Calvert-Lewin is a worry for any defence, really. So, yeah, he's definitely something you know, we should be concerned about. He mightn't be someone I buy this week because I've got a Ivan Toney problem in my team. So I've got the money possibly to go up. What is he, 7.9 now?
He is, yeah.
Yeah. So
I think that the price is almost, because it's only two game weeks, the price is almost irrelevant, isn't it? Either you can afford him or you can't. Like, I'm in a position I can't. So, but there'll be other people who obviously can. How would you, Sean, rate him against, say, Shamaka, for example? People might be thinking about who Leicester also play in game week 16.
I think that's a, you know, it's a toss of a coin for me, because I don't think, you know, either team are likely to score many goals. You know, West Ham's been very similar to ourselves actually so far this season. You know, defensively they're pretty solid, but they seem to be struggling to put the ball in the back of the net. So I think with those two, it's just a flip of a coin. I mean, West Ham have got two home games, haven't they? So I'd probably favour Scamacca because of that. I mean, our game with Bournemouth, I don't see us scoring more than maybe one goal. And the same with Leicester. Leicester have been really good lately. I think they've kept four clean sheets out of six. You know, I mean, I just don't see it being a goal of you know, a game of many goals. So I think everyone will flock to Wilson this week, and rightly so.
Yeah, I was just ignoring Wilson because I ignored him this week, and that wasn't the original plan. But there you go. That's you can listen back to the main podcast for that one. Dominic Calvert-Lewin has played nine games against Leicester in his career, scored none.
Oh, he's due then.
Yeah.
That's the right answer, Aaron. That is the right answer. He's absolutely due. Not all of them nine games against Brendan Rodgers teams, it should be said. But yeah, part of the reason for having you back on, obviously, Sean, is I think we knew we'd get to this point and people would look and ask, you know, I know people want you, Patterson or Cody. I think at the moment, because we can't be sure that Patterson plays, again, if you want an Everton defensive, if we just remove Pickford just for the moment,
yeah.
If you want to make a, you probably don't want to make a goal. More, but actually, Kepa to Pickford, we might come back to and discuss. But if you want a defensive player, you probably, if you can afford Cody, you go Cody rather than Patterson, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's pretty, I think Patterson's pretty nailed to play.
You know,
to be honest.
Cody's going to play, mate.
But if you don't, that, yeah, I mean, if it was me personally, I'd get Patterson because I think you've just got that extra chance of getting an attack and return. I mean, we've been defensively good at set pieces, but offensively, we're crap. We just don't deliver a good corner. So the chances of getting a return off Cody are actually less than I would have liked. Because I spoke about Cody a couple of weeks ago, and I had, you know, that he would have been, he was my tip, him and Iwobi. But with Patterson now coming back, I think it'd be Patterson and Iwobi would be the two that I'd be considering.
I don't think we're in any question that Patterson is going to be first choice again. We just can't be sure that it will be this weekend, I think. But I'm not going to tell you no, Sean, because I don't need the fight back again. To tell you what, I'll ask Aaron, interesting, a dilemma for you, Aaron. Who's your FPL goalkeepers at the moment?
Kepa.
And?
Ward.
That's what I was hoping he was going to say. So what are you going to do?
Probably just play Danny Ward.
Is that it, or would you consider Pickford?
Well, I'm regretting not going Pickford on wildcard now because I wildcarded 13, and the swing, and that's massive, isn't it? But
yeah,
and
it's
now I've got a problem.
Now.
But yeah, and well, I think even Ward's outscored Kepa as well. But yeah, you know, these are the things. Anyway, I'd seem silly to make a goalkeeper transfer now anyway. It's not.
It depends though, doesn't it? If you're happy with the rest of your 10, if that's what improves your 11 best.
I don't think I'm going to be in that luxury position. I've got an Ivan Toney problem. I've got a Saka problem, potentially.
We don't know yet.
Yeah. So I might have other fires to put out. But yeah, if I didn't have, then possibly, yes, I could go to Pickford. But like Sean says, it'd probably be a tight game, but I'd still fancy us to get a goal. So, yeah, it's probably the points have gone now for me, unfortunately.
Sean, what would be your take on that? I think it's particularly for people who've got Kepa, isn't it? Probably we'll be looking at Pickford as from a financial position and the last two fixtures and think there's a possibility of something here. got 11 at Fulham.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think too many people would have predicted that we'd keep a clean sheet at Fulham either. You know, even though we've been good defensively, that they've scored something like 20, 22 goals. I mean, and especially at home, they've been really good. So
I'd have picked him over Ward, though, playing Man City.
Well, yeah, you would there. But we're in that sort of the goalkeeper sweet spot, aren't we? Where we can keep clean sheets, but we do allow a lot of shots, so he's likely to get save points even if he doesn't keep it clean.
I think it's circumstantial. I think you're right, Aaron. For you, it's going to be just play Ward, I think, and leave it be. It should be said, we don't actually know the prognosis on Kepa either, and Kepa might even be available. But I think for you, when you want to sort out the forward issues you've got, you're going to do that, Aaron. I think for others, I think that's the keeper to go to. I can't think, if you're stuck and it's got to be someone around about some 4.5 value, I can't think there's a better choice than Pickford over these two. I don't think.
No, I think I definitely think he's worth a pick. The fixtures aren't bad, you know. I've just got a, it's sort of like a statistical thing. I mean, we've kept back to back clean sheets, so
it won't be free psychological. I hear.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, well, we're almost guaranteed to concede a goal somehow.
That is Sean, the mind of a football fan. And I completely, completely understand that. If you had both, anyway, who would you start this weekend, Aaron?
What, Ward and Pickford?
Yeah, who would you start?
Probably Pickford.
Sean?
Just negative bias against my team, that's all.
I'd start Ward.
Yeah, but you're saying that because of the fan in you, I think.
Yeah, not only would I start Ward, I am starting Ward. I've got him, and I will play him.
Who's your other keeper?
And I hope he concedes about far. But
yeah, we know. Who's your other keeper?
Fabianski.
So you'll pick Ward because it's against Everton, because you don't want the psychological clean sheet sitting on the bench rather than Fabianski at home to Palace.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's all mine.
No. I do you know what? I understand it. I get it, mate. Aaron, I want to ask you about James Maddison, who this booking against Leeds was, I think, and I owned him.
I owned him as well.
One of the best moments of the FPL season so far, that minus 1 point, but the fact he got booked and obviously cost him the point. But it costs so much more for so many people. It's flying around everywhere because your best player decided to take a dive in the box. Firstly, the dive, and how do you feel about that? Because we've all got players that do it, but what's your reaction to that? Is your reaction he's doing everything to try and win the game in the last minute, or do you just think, you idiot?
A bit of both, really. I mean, he is trying to win the game for us, but it was such a blatant dive. It was a bit embarrassing, really, wasn't it? And yes, it was very painful as someone who also owned him. So, yeah, I think he messed up a lot of plans there, didn't he?
I was going to captain him against Leeds.
Yeah, and you know what? It wouldn't have been a bad shout. You know, it was one of those games as well that we rode our luck in the early parts of that game, but then it could have been anything, really. We took the foot off the grass in the second half and just sort of saw the game out, really. But yeah, it was very disappointing, wasn't it?
As Sean knows, beating Leeds at home isn't for everybody. But then, obviously, did you own him at the point, Aaron, I'm going to guess?
What, Maddison?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I presume you sold, or have you kept?
I sold him, yeah.
Want him back?
Yeah.
I mean, Saka's out, and again, we're recording early, we don't know, but does he come in consideration for you as a Saka replacement?
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, the only other thing is it could go to Bowen with his two home games.
Yeah,
but I don't know. West Ham haven't looked great, have they? So
no, and I don't think he has. Like, I had the returns against Wolves and stuff, but he's not been in the Bournemouth game. He wasn't overly involved on that Monday night game. Yes, it's two home games. 83% of his Premier League goals are at home. But I almost feel like I could look at James Maddison now and know there'll be something in those two games, even though it's on paper it's harder as it's two away games. Everton strong defensively, and West Ham are pretty strong defensively as well. They've only conceded one more than yourselves, Sean. But I feel like I know that Maddison will get something in there.
Yeah, and he's not going to the World Cup, is he? So he's, all his eggs are in this.
Are you sure?
Basket.
Has he got no chance?
No chance now, has he? I don't think.
I don't think so.
No, unfortunately, I mean, I think it's shocking that he's not even been included at all. But he's been so consistent, and it, like we spoke about in the past, you know, in past pods and stuff, he has gone up another level, and you know, he's had injuries and stuff as well, and his numbers are there, aren't they? You know, you can't knock it really, but. Southgate doesn't fancy him, does he? Or doesn't see that he fits in to what he's trying to do, which is a shame.
This week, for everybody, looks tough in terms of clean sheets, other than City at home to Fulham, and Fulham are, what, fifth highest scorers in the league or something. Clean sheets against Fulham's not for everyone, right, Sean? As you all know again, right? But you would fancy City for a clean sheet, I think, more than everybody else. But it's tough looking around this week. If you were a Castagne owner, Sean, play him in most cases, do you think? Because of the potential attacking threat. And I part say that because obviously the way Maddison plays allows him to bomb on so much.
Castagne. It depends what your other options
Did
are.
I say Sean? I really should have said Aaron, shouldn't I? Sorry. go on, Sean, answer it first. Sure. Go on. Sean, you answer it. Yeah. We're here now. You might as well carry on. Sorry. Why is Aaron? Literally, I was checking to see if you'd frozen Aaron, and Sean's gone. I'll speak up.
Sorry, I'll step guys. In.
Yeah. Go on, Sean. Yeah, you answer it. Sod it.
I think if you've got Castagne, you've got to play him, haven't you? Because we are invariably blunt when you look at our numbers. So I think you play him. Aaron? He can always get an attack of a turn, even if we score anyway, can't he? Yeah. I mean, yeah, we don't concede. Shed loads of goals, but he gets in really attacking positions, and all it takes is, you know, a cutback to Vardy, and he sticks it in the net.
Yeah, he's looked good, Castagne, and he's the one out of the two fullbacks that you want to go for. I know there's a few people on Slack asking me about them a few weeks ago. Which one would you go for? And I said neither, actually, but
I don't think he was incorrect at the time, mate.
No, not. But pushed at the time, it would have been Castagne because he was the one that was the more attacking out of the two. You know, Justin's the one that tends to maybe tuck in or at least drop into a back three if they want to change shape. So, yeah, Castagne is the one that you would have wanted, and clearly it's worked out that way. And you want to play him, I think, because, you know, we do look likely to maybe get a goal. You know, those goals in those games, we've been a contributor to a lot of those, haven't we? So, yeah, I think if you've got him, you're probably playing.
I think we'd agree. We'd probably pick Pickford over Ward, but would we pick Castagne over Cody? Aaron?
I think I would, yeah. Yeah.
Sean is nodding
as
well.
Just because we could concede, but then, an attack in return for Castagne is not out of the question, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has Youri Tielemans been playing better lately?
Yeah, a lot better.
Yeah, that's what I think as well.
Yeah, he's looked really on it, actually. I was at the Leeds game and he ran the show. Yeah, he's looked really, really on it. Looks like he's kind of got this transfer thing out of his head, and he's just playing some of his best football at the minute. So he looks fit, looks at it, looks interested. So, yeah, positive.
Is he the pen taker if Vardy's not on the pitch?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
Consideration with that in mind or not?
Not really. I mean, he's going to play, isn't he? But I think you would expect more. I mean, you've got to look at the likes of Almiron at the moment. He's a lot cheaper.
No, I can't argue.
Yeah, I don't think you go there.
That's that. To be honest, Miguel Almiron has saved me from massive burns about Alex Iwobinho, I think, to be totally honest, as as well. Just while we're mentioning penalties, Sean, I take it Calvert-Lewin would be the take. But he did miss one in January, didn't he?
Yeah. I think Dom will take him.
If he wasn't on the pitch?
We never get him, so it doesn't matter.
Don't start that. That's another podcast. Neil Maupay, is it just wrong player, wrong club? It's just not suit at the moment.
Yeah, I think so. I think we need I think he's just gonna get thrown on when we're trying to get a goal, but invariably
I felt sorry for him when he played us. Yeah, I just felt the disconnect away from him was tough. Where he's playing kind of like a lone kind of target man role. It's
just doesn't suit him. No, it doesn't suit him, does it?
No, so I can understand why Calvert-Lewin's obviously, I'd say, been rushed in. I don't suppose he has. I guess everyone's taking their time with him, actually, I should imagine. I was very surprised when he was in the lineup against Newcastle, though, because Lampard's comments had said he won't start till we know he's right. And then suddenly he was in the team, so I guess he was right.
Yeah, and he's had sort of three starts, you know, back-to-back. But he has sort of withdrawn him, you know, sort of 20 minutes from the end.
Yeah, and I think right,
most of the times. And, you know, he did his first game back, he was on the bench and he come on. So they have definitely been careful with him. But the good thing is he looks in good nick. And I think, you know, obviously with each game he plays, he's getting that bit more match fitness, you know, in him. And the Leicester game and the Bournemouth games have probably come at a really good time, because he'll start and he's chomping at the bit to try to get, you know, in the England team. So I think there's a few players in the league that you can say that for. You know, Maddison is another one. Callum Wilson is another one. That I don't think you can go wrong by having a dabble with these players, because they are absolutely going to be motivated.
Do you think Calvert-Lewin's got a chance of going to the World Cup?
No, I don't.
One benefit of him is the manager knows him well. And I think he had got to the point, probably when kind of COVID hit, where I think he was first choice backup for Kane, and comfortably so, wasn't he?
Yeah. I just think the injuries have cost him. And I think the likes of Ivan Toney and Callum Wilson have just sort of nudged ahead of him. And I think, you know, either of them would be really hard done by if Dom got in ahead of them. But Gareth does like sort of players he trusts, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think it'd be between Toney and Abraham or both, I think.
But I think,
what he knows lately, yeah.
Yeah, I think Dom will probably just miss out.
Aaron, Jamie Vardy. Bar telling Wolves fans they smell, what has he done this season, mate?
He's drank Red Bull on the side.
I'm going to get so much slick on the wall slack, so much slick on the wall slack for that.
Yeah, he downed a kind of Red Bull, didn't he, before he went on as well?
Red Bull and port, isn't it? Isn't that his pretty much routine?
I didn't see the port. But
I think so, yeah. I don't say you sit on the sides of the pitch port and have a smell of port. it's back in the changing room, I think, Aaron. The Red Bull on the touchline, I think he'll get away with.
Yeah, I think he's struggled a bit this season. And that goes hand in hand with us a little bit as well, doesn't he? You know, we've struggled for consistency, but he's...
But you haven't struggled for goals.
No, but not...
He has.
Yeah, he's been in and out, hasn't he? He's tended... It looks like he's rotating a little bit with Daka, you know, with the amount of games coming thick and fast. Maybe he knows that Vardy can't do it, you know, three games in a week, which is rightly so.
Well, he started the first five in the league and hasn't started consecutive games since then. He has appeared in every game, started against Forest. I mean, he got four that night, didn't score. He started against Leeds, went off after 63 minutes, didn't return. So obviously started against City, which I completely understand, because he's got a fantastic historical record against Manchester City as well. But are we coming towards the end of, I mean, a Premier League legend, admittedly, as well?
Yeah, it feels that way, that it's coming to a bit of an end. I mean, it is a real shame that it's like, you know, he's not going to go on forever, is he? And I mean, he's still a great sub to bring on, isn't he, in some games where there's tired legs and stuff. And he's like, Red Bull aside, he does look after himself pretty well. So, it does feel as if Daka's being that one that's been moulded into being an actual replacement.
So much of his game is his pace, and he works his socks off, doesn't he? So I guess that's eventually going to catch up with you a bit. But it does feel staggering on reflection that you've scored 21 goals and he has been involved in every game and has only one of them.
Mm.
Is a staggering statistic. Would you rather Daka started at Everton or Vardy?
It's a really difficult one, actually. There's really not a lot between them. I think Oh, such a tough one. I think he'd probably start Daka at the weekend. I do. I think maybe Vardy might be more of an impact sub in that type of game. Because he's not going to get much joy out of kind of Cody and Tarkowski. I wouldn't have thought. But
Not how he wants the game, but I imagine he'll enjoy the rough battle, if you will. That won't bother Vardy. He'll enjoy
no,
that
not
side
at
of
all.
it.
Yeah, exactly. I just think, and I mean, it's not as if Jamie's not mobile anymore or anything. He very much is, but I don't know. We've evolved slightly beyond that now. I don't know. It's a difficult one. It's hard to pinpoint why he's not been getting the returns. He does go games, doesn't he, where he doesn't really touch the ball a lot. But then, I mean, it
I
proves
think that's
you
always been
don't.
the case.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you've only got to look at Haaland. You don't have to touch the ball a lot, do you, to stick the ball in the onion
He
bag?
only needs
So,
to touch it once most of the time.
yeah, exactly. So,
Or
I think he.
twice if he needs to control it first.
Yeah. I think maybe Daka will get the nod at the weekend. He's not particularly done anything wrong, Daka.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, your answer's spot on in the sense that's how I see it. I think the minutes tell us that Rodgers is using him that way now as a rotational as well. And I think when he wants to head for experience still, he probably may still be Vardy. And my instinct is that he may get the nod. They part mention it as well because I guess Daka's name will come up as interest for people as well, Aaron, for FPL managers, if people want to be punty. Is that something you'd advise for or against?
Not exactly. I mean, it is very punty still because one, you don't know if he's going to start, do you? All right, he will get some minutes, I guess, at the end of the game if Vardy does start. But I think with this short window, I think you want to just take a punt on players that you know are going to play 180 minutes, aren't you, really?
Yeah, I think so. I think even at this late stage, even in spite of fixtures, I think probably Solanke, Edouard, and Awoniyi will probably all be better at similar prices at the moment. Just quickly, Sean, who would you rather Everton played against, Vardy or Daka?
Oh, I think I'd rather have I think I'd rather
Daka, because you
Daka.
don't want Vardy to do the celebration in front of the Gladys Street.
Vardy's got like a real he's another one of the strikers that always seems to score against us. But I don't know, I'd be pretty petrified about Vardy coming off the bench with sort of half an hour to go. Because he can still move like and I think that's I was gonna say I think it's this is the sort of style of striker that will, Cody and Tarkowski won't want to play against them because they can, run in behind. Tielemans and Maddison can pick these boys out with a pass and sort it with Ronaldo where he got in the sort of left half space and
That was the
gonna
way he
go.
fought that goal, just saying.
Well, yeah, all right. He gave the ball away, didn't he? But it was
He's been great, mate. Honestly, he's been great.
Pretty high up the pitch when he lost it. But I mean, Cody managed to get back. Pickford had already gone rushing out.
Yeah, no,
But
actually,
I
Pickford made the biggest error of all, actually, on that
yeah,
goal.
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that's a type of, I can see like that's I think the best way for Leicester to get in, sort of turning the ball over and then releasing Daka or Vardy. But I'll probably be worried whoever starts and whoever comes off the
That's the fan
bench.
in you again.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, guys, Sean, I want to ask you about Bramley Moore, because it looks like it's going up quick. What's the planned
Yeah, it
opening
is,
for the stadium?
yeah. Yeah. Season after next.
So 24.
Yeah. So it's
How do you feel about that?
I don't it's great to have a new stadium coming and all the things that brand new stadiums bring, but I'm just gonna be all sort of 80% of me sort of focus is just on that we won't play Goodison anymore, and it's horrible.
Yeah. No,
It
I've
really is
experienced it,
like
mate. I get it. It's very mixed emotions.
it's yeah. Just I can't really wrap my head around sort of going a game and it not being a Goodison. But it is a very very impressive new stadium.
It's going up quick. I've seen quite a number of the videos.
Yeah, it's. it's great. I've no idea how they're going to get people in and out because the area where it is.
It is on the dock, isn't it? Literally.
Yeah, yeah. There really is not a lot of space. I've been down there a couple of times, took the little fella to have a look, and I can only see it being absolute carnage on match days. But I think West Ham have a similar issue, don't they? Getting people in and out of their stadium.
West Ham's, yeah, I think it's very security orientated around West Ham for understandable reasons where it is and stuff as well. I think. These modern stadiums tend to deal with it, Sean. You just crack on with it. I mean, the streets are narrow around Goodison and stuff, aren't they? Anyway, so
I think
people will just get on with it. Yours will be like it was for me, mate. It's the character of the old place you can't replace.
No,
it's very exciting times for Everton, and it's a step that the football club has to take. Actually, I imagine you'll have an unbelievable home season next season. By the way, if it's anything like what I had. And Aaron, money, we may not speak to you before that transfer window opens. Do you think the club will invest in the window?
I think they need to. I don't know whether they will, though. I mean, they need to move a lot out. And I think they've obviously got the head of recruitment in now that came in from Southampton. Glover, I think it is, isn't it? So that I don't think that helped things in the summer, particularly. But now he's in, hopefully things can sort of, you know, people can be moved out so we can get people in. I think that's the biggest problem we've got. It's still there from pre-season. So unless that happens, then, you know, if no one goes out the door, no one will come in.
Well, that's a follow-up question. Do you think the likes of Maddison and Tielemans will stay? Am I right in saying Tielemans' contract is up at the end of the season?
Yeah. I mean, I really hope so. It just depends on how desperate they are for the cash.
It might be dependent on what happens in the next few games as well. Like if you win four of the next six, for example, and you pull yourself well clear, if somebody suddenly puts 25 million on the table for Tielemans when we know it sounds like the money's quite tight, and they go, 25 million, what can we do with the next 4 months anyway? They might take it.
Yeah, yeah. And I wouldn't blame them. I wouldn't blame them either if they were to do that. But, I mean, you've only got to look at these winning games that we've had good results in, and we're still in the bottom three. So it's very – I know it's tight down there.
This is why we said how important those five games were, mate.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But I'll repeat what I said to you before. I don't think anyone truly thinks that Leicester will go down.
No, and I think that maybe the fact that we've now shored it up a little bit more at the back, and we look like we can always score goals, and that is a big plus. I think some of the sides down there, like your likes of Wolves, who are really struggling to score goals. I mean, they're in a bit of a desperate situation, but it doesn't feel like that with us, really.
You've scored more goals than Manchester United, more goals than Chelsea, more goals than Brighton, two less than Liverpool, one less than Fulham. You've only scored three less than Newcastle. I mean, that make you feel sick with the way you defend sometimes, actually, mate.
Yeah,
I think you're moving away from the stage where you might be beyond having to score three goals to win a game of football, maybe, mate.
Hallelujah.
I wish you both the very best of luck. Let's do predictions before we let you go for the weekend game, which is the 5:30 on Saturday. So I look forward to watching it. Sean, over to you, mate.
I'll go for 1-1.
Is that the fan or is that the genuine prediction? Which one is it?
No, that is a genuine prediction. Yeah.
Aaron?
Yeah, I think that's what I initially thought. Score, draw. One or two all at most, I think.
I'm going to give you the edge, actually, Sean. I'm going to go 2-1 to Everton. It's still a very, very tough place to go to get a result, and I think it's probably a coin flip, and if the game was at Leicester, I'd probably predict it the other way around, to be totally honest. But yeah, I'll give you the benefit for this one, I think, Sean, the 2-1. Aaron, with the five games, we obviously spoke with yourself, Sean, about the importance of these four games for you. So, you know, if you can take another four from these two, and to be honest, there's every, you know, beat Leicester, you'll go to Bournemouth and think you can win as well. Six is possible there. Six is possible. And just interesting, just looking at the fixtures after the World Cup, you got Man City in game week 18 away, Sean, which is obviously not clever, but of the first four fixtures, three of them are at home. Wolves, Brighton, Southampton. There's possibly more clean sheets in there, isn't there, on the other side. I think looking at your assets, Aaron, might be a bit more difficult because Newcastle and Liverpool are the first two. And then there's Fulham Forest. But we'll all still have Danny Ward, won't we?
Yeah, why not?
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. Look, I might even look for someone who's got shit fixtures when you play Fulham and Forest, mate. Brilliant, guys. Thanks so much. Sean, where can everyone follow you on the bird app, mate?
At @spirit_blues.
And yourself, Aaron.
At Aaron Lager.
Thanks very much, guys. Next week's Clash of the Correspondents, the last before the unlimited period, is Liverpool versus Southampton with Dan Lord and Matt Samuel. That should be available for you next Thursday. Just leaves me to say thanks again to Sean and to Aaron. Cue music, please, Manchild. Messi, I'm gonna miss you.